A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. And this is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube.
And I'm Marvelous Mklanganya, who are broadcasting from my home in Washington, D.C. due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are discussing various issues, including the COVID-19 pandemic, the WFP Urban Food Security Resilience Program, Fumbuza Intwasa Program, and the United States elections.
Currently, as Gibbs has just said, you know, there are a lot of programs that are actually taking part in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has since March this year recorded over 11,000 cases of COVID-19. According to the Ministry of Health, 9,253 people have recovered and 305 have died. Yesterday alone, there were 74 new COVID-19 cases. One death in Bulawayo. Bulawayo has the largest numbers of COVID-19 cases, closely followed by Harare. Worldwide, Johns Hopkins University reports that there are over 17 million cases and 1.6 million deaths. In the U.S. alone, about 16 million people have tested positive for COVID-19. Almost 300,000 Americans have died due to COVID-19, an issue that has been of contention between the current President Donald Trump and Mr. Joe Biden of the Democrats, who has at the moment set up a task force to look at the way forward in combating the high incidence of COVID-19 cases in the USA.
Ukuqala ke COVID-19 pandemic kuzobuya ke uhlelo olwaziwa World Food Program okuthiwa Urban Food Security Resilience Program, kuzobuya ke uhlelo njalo okuthiwa Fumbuza Intwasa Program njalo langokhetho lweMelika. Siyabona ukuthi ke nxa sikhangela COVID-19 sokula bantu abedlula 11,000 asebanjebele COVID-19 kwele Zimbabwe kusukela ngombimbitho lonyaka. Uhlangothi lwezempilakahle luyabika ukuthi phakathi kwabantu laba kulaba yi 9,253 asebephephe umkhuhlane lowo, kwathi ke abayi 305 babhubha. Izolo kuphela nxa sikhangela i-COVID-19 kule Zimbabwe kuhlolwe kwatholakala kulabantu abafika 74 abatholakale bele COVID-19, kwathi oyedwa wabhubha. Nxa sikhangela ke abantu abatsha abasanda ukuthola bele COVID-19, izolo kutholakale abayi 74. So khanya ke eBulawayo kulabantu abaningi kakhulu abele COVID-19 kwese kulandela iHarare. Emhlabeni onke jikelele, iJohns Hopkins University ibika ukuthi sokulabantu abedlula 70 million asebebanjwe COVID-19, kuthi abe 1.6 million sebabhubha. Kwele Melika isibhedlela lesi siyabika njalo ukuthi kulabantu asebesedlula 16 million kuzobuya ke abayi 300,000 asebebulewe umkhuhlane we-COVID-19. Kukhanya sibili kuzima lapha, Marvelous.
Aiwa, tinokuchingamidzai pano pachirongwa chedu cheLife Talk, icho tiri kukupai tiri kumba pamusoro pedenda reCOVID-19 musi wechishanu, December 11, 2020. Pari zvino muchirongwa chedu chanhasi tichange tiine gango, tichange tiri kutarisa zviri kuitika padenda reCOVID-19, totarisa zvakare nyaya yezviri kuitika panyaya yechikafu, apo sangano reWFP rakawanikwa iro richishanda uyezve riri kuenderera mberi richishanda nevanhu vari kunzvimbo dzakasiyana-siyana nekuvapa chikafu. Vhiki rino vanga vari kumasvingo, uko vakawanikwa ivo vachishanda nemhuri dziri mumadhorobha nekuvapa mari yekuti vatenge chikafu panguva ino yeCOVID-19. Tichange tiri kutarisa zvakare zvirongwa zvepfumbudza nezvimwe zvakadaro panyaya yechikafu ichochi zvatiri kutaura. Tozotarisa zvakare denda reCOVID-19. Tinoona bazi rezveutano remuZimbabwe rinotaura iro kuti uwandu hwevanhu vabatwa nedenda iri reCOVID-19 huri kuramba uchikwira. Bazi rinoti pane vanhu vanodaudzira 11,000 vawanikwa ivo vachibatwa nedenda iri reCOVID-19, uye zvakare paine vanhu 305 vawanikwa vachishaya. Imo muno muAmerica matiri tinoona kuti denda iri reCOVID-19 rakapfunya chisero, uyezve ndoimwe nyaya iri kunyanyonetsa panyaya yekutambidzana masimba kwavaDonald Trump vemaRepublican navaJoe Biden vemaDemocrats. Panyaya iyo yeCOVID-19 vaJoe Biden vachiti ivo vane urongwa hwekuti ivo pavachatora masimba vachaedza kuti vanhu vambowanikwa ivo vachipfeka zvinhu zvakadai semamaski nezvimwewo kwenguva yakati kuitira kuti chirwere ichi chisawanikwe chichitekeshera sezvachiri kuita pari zvino. tinoona kuti tichitarisa kuti muAmerica pari zvino tinoona kuti vanhu vakawanikwa ivo vachibatwa nedenda iri sekutaura kuri kuita John Hopkins University vari kuramba vachikwira uyezve nyika yeAmerica iri kutaura iyo kuti iri kuda kuona kuti zvingamire sei munguva inotevera saka ndo zvimwe zvatichange tiri kutarisa pamusoro pezvazvo muno muAmerica pari zvino pari kutotaurwa ivo kuti there are over 17 million cases yevanhu pasi rose vabatwa necovid-19 1.6 million vachiwanikwa vachishaya muno muAmerica 16 million vanhu vabatwa nedenda iri recovid-19 uyezve 300,000 dzemaamericans dzawanikwa idzo dzichishaya zvinoreva kuti over a quarter of a million vanhu vawanikwa ivo vachishaya imo muno muAmerica pamusoro pedenda recovid-19 saka tichange tiri kubata zvakawanda wanda ipo pano tiona kuti zvakamira sei tichitarisa zvakare kuti pane nhaurwa zvakare iri kunetsa veruzhinji yekupwanywa kwemba kwanga kuri kuitwa kubudiriro apo kanzuro yemuHarare yawanikwa iyo ichienda kunopwanya imba idzi asi pane kutatsurana pakati peMBC Alliance nehurumende kuti ndiani chaizvo ari kutaura kuti izvi zviitike tichiona kuti kanzuro iri pasi pe local government asi makanzuro akawanda uyezve navana meya ndeve MDC Alliance. Nasi zvakare tiri kutarisa kuti izuva retree planting day tawana isu vaNelson Chamisa veMDC Alliance vachienda ivo kunodyara miti. Saka ndo zvimwe zvatichange tiri kukurukura pamusoro pezvazvo. Ipo pano pachirongwa cheLife Talk chatinokupai tiri kumba muno muWashington DC. Gibbs.
Yes, marvelous. There are millions of people in Zimbabwe who are struggling due to COVID-19. And this has resulted in some organizations like the World Food Program to intervene in order to help the needy. There are hundreds of people who are now under the WFP Urban Food Security Resilience Program. So the program has been rolled out in places like Chinoy and Maswingo. We've got Ms. Claire Neville of the World Food Program who actually explains how the program works. Here she comes.
So WFP's Urban Social Assistance and Resilience Building Program started at the end of 2019, where we did the pilot in Epworth in Harare. Then in January 2020, we started to rapidly scale up the program across the country. And then when the COVID-19 pandemic hit Zimbabwe, we knew how much people were really struggling to put food on the table with their income sources being taken away. And so we've been scaling up ever since then, and right now we're delivering to 327,000 people across Zimbabwe, and we know that people really need this urgent food assistance right now, which we deliver in the form of cash transfers through an e-voucher and through a remittance-based service as well. And we know how much families are being able to be more food insecure and to face some stability and peace right now thanks to the food that they're getting.
So that was Ms. Claire Neville of the World Food Programme speaking with VOA Zimbabwe's Kanzu Maramba in Maswingo. So there's a program that has been rolled out in Maswingo, you know, and this program, marvelous, it seems as if it's helping a lot of people in Maswingo, and it was also rolled out in Chinoy. So, the World Food Program is So,
let's hear what one of the beneficiaries from Maswingo had to say. As what Gibbs said, yes, the program was also rolled out in Chinoy. Asirigating bones was on Gashin Kutaurwa, Nevamwe Vakawanikwa Iwo, Vachi, Wana Rubatsiro Kubaku World Food Program, Pacific Chirongwa Chiche WFP.
Matenga mshanza chi chironga chironga chini kubatira sisi kwa ramakoni ispecial chini kuhua iko kuti.
Kuti batira kumsaba kuti chaga kula kwa rama kula kumbi kuti. Basi jeli wamu chaje kuti kwa sasa
Batinya kapan vaksin kita sendiri dapat jadi jadinya ini COVID. Jadi mungkin mau dapat mungkin. Tapi kita kapan vaksin jadinya supaya tidak korup. Taka taka pun tak pura lama pun sudah. Bicara
kamu sebut saya tak cari sana nau, ni yang ekonomi mika muno buat sejauh tu, supaya di saya jadi jadi dia kau yang sejauh itu apa, mungkin itu, mesti jangan kita cari sana nau campur apa kena ni, hati nak buat aku tu, jadi pilih apa kaya itu aku tu, mungkin itu orang aku fambo sana, kurang apa aku situ jenisnya, buat itu upaya sebut one sabu sebut tenggara muri. Mari kita ingat ramu, mari kita ingat ramu sikap. Karena situ ni, aku tu orang orang tu, apa nak buat ada pangkeja. Karena nak buat apa aku tu cek, engkau tu saya pinjir aku, muka saya tu aku tu orang orang corot aku tu cek saya, aku pinjir. Karena sudah cek ni, aku tu hati. Mari aku ingat pinjir aku pun, orang orang cek tu itu kesan, kesan. Mari aku ingat pinjir aku pun. Wahai yang doktor, mungkin dia pun mampu risau jadi kami sejak semua berita, saya berita dari kecil dari
sejak. Ini kan sebenarnya jangan macam macam. Sebenarnya anak-anak ni, nak. Serumpah juga kalau yang tengah dibaca kita pun, serumpah dia juga, tengah dibaca kita cakap yang darah ni, darah ni mana bang? Jadi saya ambil aja tu. Pasti baca kalau yang dah kontrol semua aja tu. Mario dah jadi tak semua jenis ni, dia baca nasi ane yang dia sih dapat. Tengah baca kalau yang tengah dia merasa di Paris ni. Maria senang dah bukan sendok, senang kat itu dah semasa. Kita guna bukan di sebuah projek. Projek kita yang kita bukan nak buat. Hari ini dah aku buat. Hari ini dah aku jual. Jadi kita ni lah nak.
Yes, so it seems as if many people are really benefiting from this program, marvelous. And these beneficiaries actually saying that, you know, COVID-19 has caused havoc in communities. And we've seen that even here in USA. There are millions of people who are benefiting from some, you know, programs that are being rolled out by NGOs, some by the government. But the government has been, you know, having problems in rolling out some checks for people. So these things are very, very, very challenging. You know, Zulugandaba, lapha lizwile abanye abemasiko khona ngale bekhuluma ke ngohlelo lolu ke olo helpful program olunceda abantu abangani bathwele nzima ngesikhathi se-COVID-19. So there are other programs marvelous in Zimbabwe, things created by the government in conjunction with non-governmental organizations and some nations. One of the projects is known as Fumbuza Intwasa program, and then it was initiated by the British government. We spoke about the program with Kate Tetton, who is the development director at the British Embassy. Let's hear what she said about
August. 1919 to 2020, we had about 9,800 households, which was piloting the Fumbuza program, so that was testing it out. This season, next season that's just coming up, we're hoping to expand that to 250,000 households in Manicaland, Mashingo, and Mashonaland.
So tell us a bit about these programs. Who is actually benefiting?
So the whole idea of Mvudza is to sort of really target those small farmers, smallholders who have very sort of limited patches of land and really help them get the most out of that land and increase that productivity, especially during these times of erratic climate. So obviously for the last few years in Zimbabwe, we've seen, you know, periods of drought. So we're targeting smallholders who probably have about 1/16th of a hectare. And what we really want to do is target those households with a package of seeds and improved agricultural practices to really help them get the most out of those small plots and ensure that they have enough food for their families.
How do we identify the families?
So we're looking for families that have about 1/16th of a hectare of land, so a small household plot next to their close to their homes. and also farmers that also have a little bit of capital to buy some of the inputs, obviously seeds and some fertilizer, and those households with enough land to cultivate the plot carefully, because there's some quite some good guidelines that we've developed to make sure that we get the most out of the land.
So in terms of the impact of this program, tell us a bit about it.
So we're quite excited by the program, because for a limited amount of inputs and some very careful cultivation, we sort of see that a household can probably secure about 33 weeks of cereal. So almost enough for a household to get through the year, about two-thirds of the year, and that's a family of six. So, you know, obviously in these difficult times, hopefully improving food security for those people that previously had to buy food in the market, had to buy cereals in the market.
Now we see that when people are engaged in these programs, they have small plots and they use some rudimentary implements. Exactly what do they do in terms of planting whatever they're planting?
So for the Even Footer program, has developed a very careful set of guidelines, which includes firstly sort of mapping out the plots to ensure proper spacing between the plants. So a number of rows are dug, and then along those rows, the farmer will cultivate a small pit, which is then going to sort of where the seed and the fertilizer and the organic fertilizer will be sort of put in. And then that's covered with topsoil and watered carefully through the season. So a package of inputs, and there's some very careful guidelines. And the most important bit of this new technology is the mulching that happens. So this is covering the cultivated plot with residues from either livestock or grasses or leaves to really lock in that moisture and to prevent and to bring in more organic matter to make that soil more fertilizer. But it's locking in the moisture during these areas, during these seasons of erratic rainfall, that's the real key.
And talking about the yields in such kind of cultivation methods, how good are yields?
So we've seen one of the great things about this technology and this package of practices is it's been very carefully tested in the farmer's field, so not necessarily developed on the research station, but really tested in farmer's fields. And in those pilots last year with those 9,000 households, we saw some of those families realising about 8 tonnes per hectare of a yield. And if you compare that to land that's cultivated without these careful practices and without this careful mulching and watering, we see around 0.5 to 1 tonne per hectare. So really significant increases in the yields that farmers are realising.
What type of crops are actually grown, you know, using these techniques?
Yeah. So at the moment we're focusing on maize, which is obviously the staple of preferred crop of most Zimbabweans. But there's the principles of the technology, so the kind of careful use of organic matter, the mulching, and the right combination of organic and inorganic fertilizer. Those principles can be applied to many other crops. So we'd like to see them probably extended to small grains, such as millets and sorghum, particularly in those drier areas, but also legume crops. So that whole package of, you know, proper spacing, proper fertilizing, proper weeding is really a technology that can be applied to all crops, and that will be the next step.
Can you say that your program is actually environmentally friendly?
Yes, we can. I think the whole kind of background of the program has been developed with that resilience to climate change in mind, and with, you know, maximum use of inorganic and organic fertilizers together in a careful combination. So using mulches, leaving crop residues in the field to sort of fertilize the soil, reducing chemical fertilizer to the minimum level that's effective. So, you know, reducing that down as much as possible, combining it with organic fertilizer so we get a real synergy between the two. All of these kind of principles are about kind of improving the environment, but also building resilience to climate change.
Yes, marvelous. So that is Kate Tetton. She is the development director at the British Embassy. So lapho ke bekhuluma ukuthi ifumbuza le ivele kuyini. So ubekubeka nje sobani ukuthi ifumbuza ukuthiwa marvelous.
Aiwa apo tangatiri kunzwa kubva kune British Embassy vari kutaura ivo pamusoro pechirongwa chepfumbudza. Vanga vari kutaura kuti chirongwa ichi chinorevei uyezve kuti chakamira sei parizvino pane zvanga zviri kutaurwa izvo naurwa yavaita na Gibbs Dube wekuno wamuri kuona ari pano pachirongwa asi tikuenderera mberi tichitaura zvakare nevamwe veBritish embassy iyoyo Gibbs Dube aita zvakare hurukuro nemumwe wekuembassy ikoko regai tinzwe kuti ari kuti chii Gibbs.
Yes, that's Margaret Masanga, who is the British Embassy's communications manager. Let's hear what she says about Fumbuza.
Indosa luhlelo olusekelwa ngabe UKAID. Kulo luhlelo abe UKAID basebenzelana labalimi abafika 9,800. Ngomnyaka ozayo sikhangelele ukuthi abe UKAID bazabe sebencedisana labalimi abafika 250,000. Abalimi abakuhlelo lolu olweIntwasa yilabo okubizwa kuthiwa ngama-smallholder farmers abatholakala endaweni ezingatholi amanzi enelisa ukuthi abalimi bahlanyele bavune ukudla abazakudla umnyaka wonke. Yindawo esengozini ye-drought lendlala. Abalimi abasebenzisa ama methods awe intwasa bavuna ukudla abenelisa ukuthi bakudle okwamaviki angu 33. Njalo lapho umlimi ayethola khona 0.5 tons usethola 8 tons. Abalimi abakuhlelelwe intwasa isikhathi esiningi bakhetha ukulima umumvu njengoba isithwala kuyikho ukudla kwethu esikuthandayo. Wele Zimbabwe. Uhlelo lweIntwasa lusebenzisa ikakhulu okuthiwa ngama-organic fertilizer. Bahlanganisa yebo lama inorganic fertilizer. Kodwa kaningi ngama-organic fertilizer asetshenziswayo ngoba sikhangelane le climate change njalo sifuna ukuthi sivikele leyo climate change sihlanyele ukudla okwakha umzimba. Uhlelo lweIntwasa lutholakala kuma-province athize kwele Zimbabwe. Uhlelo lukhona eManicaland, eMashonaland, eMidlands, njalo ke laseMatabeleland.
Masanga, who is talking about this project. So, according to Ms. Masanga, this project is a very big project because there are many, many farmers who are set to benefit in the near future. She's saying thousands and thousands of farmers are likely to get assistance next year. So it's going ahead, and she's hopeful that these farmers, smallholder farmers, will benefit a lot. I think we've got one of the farmers, Marvelous. Would you want to hear what the farmer is saying?
Yes, asikisa tenda iko korigaiti mbuchaura zataurwa na mai vangavaru kubakutaura. Varukutaura iwo kutipane zhirongwa zhukuitwa ne British Embassy. Zvirikubatsira varimi vakawanda sekutaura kuri kuita Gibbs anzi varimi vakawanda vachange vari kubatsirwa pasi pechirongwa ichi. Saka regai tiende kune mumwe murimi tinzwe kuti zviri kufamba sei. Let's go to our farmer and hear how the program is going.
Kuditi wani ndingati pakuwana guru rakanaka ndava ndudzika zvikuru nokuti taisimboti donje chibage ndodza dziri mbeu dzedu asi izvo ndava ndudzika pauti ndofanira kurima mbeu dzakawanda dzinogona kundipa chikafu chakakwana. Ipapo ndakavandudzika zvikuru nokuti hapasina chimwe chinhu chandotambura zvo.
Ini ndimaima sunflower. Yes, dzave nzungu dzese dzakadzvara nzungu panasi. Nzungu dzacho ndobva dzatsva. Dzatsva handa kumboramba futi ndakazvambarara. Ndokuya ndobva ndafunga kuti mafuta zvaanonetsa kunyange tisingafaniri kuti tidye akawanda nokuti nzungu dzaramba. Ndoshaya mafuta zvoraizvo kuti hautano hwangu hunenge hwatoipa. Mafuta achatondibatsirawo ndihandichawana kusunflower. Ndakabva ndaisa sunflower ndimai kuti ndigowana kuti ndiwane mafuta okuti andibatsire sezvo nzungu dzadzaramba. Pandima yenzungu yakaramba iyoyo ndobva ndaisa nyemba. Ngati nyemba idzidzi dzotondibatsirawo futi iye zvitiri kutanha muriwo dzakuda kubereka. Inyemba dzose dzandakadzvara pakabva nzungu pakatsva nzungu zvoratidza izvo kuti handambomira kana kuvata. Ndakaramba ndichifamba. Saka nyemba dzavepo, masunflower avepo, tichingofamba nendima yacho tichinosvika pamhingirikiri pamhonzi apo. Tobva taisa futi mhonzi kuti dzigotibatsira manhanga nezvimwe zvaizvo kuti chikafu handitombotambura, handitombosi kuti ndichachishayiwa.
So that's one of the farmers, the marvelous, very interesting stuff there, right?
It's interesting, you know, that, you know, people are now coming out of all these programs that are being assisted. We saw there the WFP people coming up and saying, yes, the food is helping them through COVID-19. Now this farmer speaking about the program that the British are assisting with. So interesting stuff there, Gibbs.
Yes, and then this issue on people that are being evicted in Harare, what is going on?
Gibbs, that's a really, you know, a lot of people are, you know, taking, you know, they are really upset about what is going on in Budiriro because they don't know who is responsible. They are saying that the MDC Alliance has the councillors, has the mayors, but they fall under local government, which is ZANU-PF. So who exactly is responsible for some of these families? Because we've seen our reporter went out there, Godwin Mangujiga, in the rain and spoke to some of these residents of Budiriro, because we've seen some of their houses being demolished. But in one of the videos, one of the residents of Budiriro, when they asked apparently, you know, the grouping or the cooperatives under which this housing scheme was based, they actually said they had a court order to demolish the houses of another, you know. So it's really confusing to understand what is going on in Harare at the moment. But a lot of people are really up in arms to say this needs to be resolved because it's raining in Harare at the moment. There are families that are out there with school children. Some of them are even saying they lost their documents for their children, you know, their birth certificates. All the important documentation was raised away because they were given no notice. So these are some of the issues that we've been seeing happening this week at a time when COVID-19 is really very rife in Harare and worldwide, including here in America, Gibbs.
Yes, we've got one of the people who was actually evicted, but before going there, Zakuluma, doesn't the veil go to Zagalani, Ebutiriro. So Kulabantu Kanya Zanba Kotu and Pavatala Kona. So Mabebu's Uti Ubanwa Kotayo, Kuhana Kanya. Itolopole Harare is what the Libanjoy MTC Alliance. So Libanben Jalo, MTC Alliance. Bonaba MTC Alliance, but Abawas, Utu Zagalan. Labanabantu, but you couldn't not test Boyayo. As well as James Swabani, put on a man on Tilis in Yako, put one in Yamas Tilis. So there's Loba Balapage, Okuluma, Akoloko, since we go to Chin Marvelous, Loba Balapa, and Kujen, Nangla.
But we are also trying to enjoy the day.
So these people, marvelous, have been living in this place for 10 years, and all of a sudden somebody is homeless.
Yes, Gibbs, I actually had an earlier program on Let's Talk Ngati Kurkure and the outrage that some people were really spewing out. They were saying most of these residential stands are usually given prior to elections. So sometimes people are, you know, so euphoric, they are not asking about, you know, the authenticity of the stands, and then they do get the stands. But also the city council, for a house to get to that stage, they would have gone through the various, you know, inspections. So that's what some of the people are saying. But, you know, we have over 100 families that are being affected by these demolitions. And we don't know, or they are saying that they don't know whether this is the last demolition that's going to happen, or they can expect more. Because right now, nobody is really coming out and saying who is responsible for these demolitions. But, you know, it's, they're affecting people, over 100 families. So we just have to wait and find out what's going on.
So meanwhile, in the United States, marvelous, there's a lot that is happening. President Donald Trump pushed ahead yesterday with his long-shot effort to append his re-election loss to President-elect Joe Biden, meeting at the White House with Republican state attorney generals who are supporting a lawsuit brought by the state of Texas at the Supreme Court to attempt to invalidate millions of votes in states won by Biden. Some legal experts apparently say the lawsuit won't succeed. Media projections indicate that Mr. Biden has 306 electoral votes and Trump 232. Electors vote next week for the next president following the November 3rd nationwide election. Meanwhile, President-elect Biden yesterday announced several more nominees for top posts, who actually include former United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice. So there's a lot that is happening, Marcus.
Yes, and a lot of people are actually, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen because they say that the United States is the mother picture for democracy. So they are very interested to see what is going to happen here in the United States. Kuna vachango pa kupinda mshirongwa tiripano pa live talk. Kunyangwe edu tuku tefenyura tuku kumba. Asi, tanga tuku tarisa jiji, shwanga shuriku itika. Tambo tarisa isu, shwanga shuriku itika ku WFP kumashingo. Nekune zimwe nshimbo tika tarisa, shwanga shuriku itika. Kuarare kubudiru kutawona. Muri dzakawanda dzichiputsirwa dzimba asi pari zvino tiri kutarisa zviri kuitika imo muno muAmerica apo pari kunetsa pakutambidzana kwemasimba pakati pe vari mutungamiri weAmerica pari zvino vaDonald Trump vemaRepublicans navaJoe Biden vemaDemocrats avo vakawanikwa ivo vachikunda kunzvimbo dzakawanda uyezve pari zvino vakatarisirwa kuti svondo rinouya pawanikwe ipo gungano rie rino reElectoral College richizowanikwa richitaura kuti ndivo vakakunda asi vaTrump pari zvino vari kuedza nepese pavanokwanisa kuti varatidze kuti ivo havasi kutambira zvakabuda musarudzo idzi vari kuti sarudzo idzi hadzina kufambiswa zvakanaka asi tinoona kuti mamwe mapazi ehurumende imuno muAmerica akadai se Attorney General womuno anova iye akagadzwa navaDonald Trump vakawanikwa ivo vachiti aiwa sarudzo dzemuAmerica idzi dzakaitwa zvakanaka uyezve kuti pasi rose neiyo nyika yeAmerica dzitambire zvakabuda musarudzo saka ndo zvimwe zviri kuitika imo muno pari zvino Gibbs.
Unjalo njengakona kuke uba marvelous kanyangzani kuketa lomeleka lapha kulobuzima sibili xa sikhangela ke okwenzakalayo umongameli Donald Trump usephanye ke udaba eSupreme Court lapha afuna ukuthi kulahlwe amavotes afika amamillion ayethusayo. So uthi ke ukhetho lwenziwa ngemfanelo endaweni ezinjengeWisconsin, ePennsylvania, eMichigan, eGeorgia. Kodwa sokubalwe kwabalwa eGeorgia, kwabalwa futhi eMichigan, kwabalwa futhi eWisconsin, kodwa bathi abatboni ukuthi ukhetho lokuqutshwanga ngemfanelo. So ke siyabona njalo ukuthi nxa sikhangela kuya phambili. Kulaba Attorney General abahambe eWhite House izolo, abavela endaweni eziningi, abangaphansi kweRepublican Party, ikamongameli Donald Trump. Bekhuluma khona ngale ukuthi kumele ukuthi kulahle amavoti kwama-states angu-4. Wona la Michigan, Pennsylvania, izobe iGeorgia, leWisconsin. So, bathi akulahle amavoti, kodwa abantu bavota, bathe sebevotile, uBiden wathola amavoti ayidlula 80 million, kwazobuya ke uDonald Trump wazuza ayi 74 million. Kodwa konoka isiku ukuthi umongameli engakhethwa njalo. Umongameli weMelika ukhethwa ngalokhu kuthiwa Electoral College. Electoral College yahlala phansi icazulule ibe siziyavota futhi. Okwamanje nxa kukhangelwa uBiden ulama electoral votes ayi-306 kuzobuya ke uTrump le-332. Yiko exactly anqoba ngakho uHillary Clinton ngomnyaka ka-2016. So ke abantu abakwazi ukuthi kozala nkomoni. So sike sizwe ke abanye esilabo marvelous. We are lucky that we have got a geopolitical analyst, and that is Miss Pearl Matibe. So, Miss Matibe, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for reaching out to me. How are you doing today?
No, we're very well. So, break it down for us. What is going on here? Very brief.
Sure. Well, so here's the thing. You know as well as I do that the pace at which news and things happen in Washington, D.C., it can change very, very quickly. So basically what happened is last night, President Donald Trump got together with members of his party, who were elected officials in Congress and the House, and 106 of those House representatives signed what is called a legal document. It's called an amicus brief. basically what an amicus brief is, it's just a legal document, which means that someone who is not party to the case is aiding and helping the courts to move the case along. So it's an amicus brief. 106 of those Republicans signed it. Among them, there are some moderates and some liberals in there, but I know that Mitt Romney is not one of them, and there have been some criticisms from people in his own party. For example, Senator Sassy is saying that it's more of a PR stunt as opposed to something that they really want to have passed. But we've listened to Attorney General Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton is the one who is really the front lead on this lawsuit. And remember that just before we went into the election, President Trump did have his Supreme Court justice nominee approved, who is now in the Supreme Court. So basically, that's what's happened. There's a lot of criticism on both sides. A lot of people on the left are saying that this lawsuit will go nowhere and that it will be defeated again. But if you take a look at the pace at which the Republicans are moving, we had the Vice President Pence speaking in Georgia, and he was praising the lawsuit. In fact, his own words to the people at the rally was he was saying he's telling people that they must protect their God-given rights. Vice President Pence also told them to hold the line. In other words, they're promoting the idea that they need to stay steadfast. They're trying to overturn the election results. So what we know right now is that there is the expectation that President-elect Biden will come in and be inaugurated in January. What this lawsuit does, it's an attempt to overturn the election results of four states. That's Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Bear in mind that the votes in Michigan that they're trying to overturn is 5.5 million votes that they're trying to overturn in Michigan alone. So basically, that is what is happening. I think it just means that we just need to be patient. As you know, I certainly keep my finger on the pulse in Washington because things can change very literally by the minute. Things can change, and so we're monitoring the situation very closely and see what will happen with that outcome.
Marvelous.
Nezva muri kuona zviri kuitika izvi muzvare Matibe zvinorevei kune urongwa hwekuti va Joe Biden vagadzwe musi wa January 20 sezvanga zvakarongwa.
Hapana zvinotadzisa Biden kuti vagadzwe muna January kana zviri kuitwa nava Trump zvekuendesa nyaya yekumatare zvikasafamba. Ndinoona vaBiden vachizonatsopinda pasina kana zvinenge zvichavamisa. Nekuti maprocesses ese ekupinza vaBiden akatotangwa. And what do I mean when I say the processes have already started? So there are several things that take place that happen to put a president into office. One of those things is they've already set up offices. There's a budget. The General Services Administration gives them $6.3 million, which is approved by Congress for them to hire people. That's why you can see right now, and you can see The other thing which is happening is going to be, for instance, the Department of Justice in Israel,
Every day, tombotarisawo Africa nyanya Zimbabwe vachiona zviri kuitika izvi vari kuzvitambira sei.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think chikuru vane vachitarisa kuti ivo vagara vachinzi ngavaite maelections ari free, fair and credible. Tagara chingonzwai nyaya yekunzi free, fair and credible, free, fair and credible. Chii zvinorevei kuti free, fair and credible? So let me just explain what that means in terms of democracy. And before I just speak a little bit about the essence and the philosophy of what is democracy, let's try to remember that the United States, everybody looks at the United States and says, that's the democracy, that's the model for the world. I think that there's a misconception in that view. And that is because even though the United States has had a democracy and has been having elections for the last 244 years, this country is 244 years old, but democracy anywhere in the world, even with the more advanced countries, is not perfect. And that is the political philosophy. If you wanted to take a look at the theoretical meaning of what is in a democracy, basically you look at two things, right? You look at the fact that you need to be having free, fair elections, and that is characterized by a transfer of power. And then you also need to have liberal speech and association and so on. So in African countries, you have less freedom to speak and to be and associate with whomever you want to. But certainly what you're seeing in the United States right now is a key tenet. When you want to identify and see this country has got democracy, the primary thing is going to be, was there an election? Was it free? Was it fair? And not only that, was there a transition of power? They go hand in hand. Can't just have free, fair elections and not have a transition of power. And that is the hurdle and the challenge that the United States is having now. What I'll say about that quickly is that what we are witnessing in the United States is democracy working. So
why do you say that? Because the
democracy here is working very well. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the wheels of democracy turning. So people who want to study and learn and see, okay, this is what is happening in democracy, it is happening live, evolving. History is actually taking place. So while President Trump has got the right to do what he wants to do, because remember, he is still the man who has the job, he is still president of the country until January 20. The institutions of the United States are strong, and so I do not have any concerns at the moment. Yes, something may go through to the Supreme Court on the off chance that the election results are overturned. Then we have to understand that the Supreme Court, three of the Supreme Court judges were appointed by Trump. So they are in there, appointed by the person who put them there, to go and do the work that he wanted them to go do there. That is part of how democracy works. And so you may end up with a result that you may not like, but if you want to embrace democracy, then you need to understand what comes with being a democratic country. Whereas in an African country or in Zimbabwe and so on, there's less tolerance for things that you may not agree with. So I just think that in different political spheres, the electorate has got different levels of being, how mature they are in their democracy, mm-hmm. and at what level that country has reached democracy. For instance, in Zimbabwe, you might say this is a country that's been looking for and trying to get into democracy, but it's not. It has been leaning to being authoritarian, leaning to being an illiberal democracy, because we know that the president, President Mnangagwa, is definitely an autocrat. There's a lot of evidence that we know and we can see, tangible scientific evidence that is what Zimbabwe has turned into. Different to the United States, and they will work. The institutions will work.
At that level, let's bring in Priscilla Ndlovu, who is a Zimbabwean living in Washington State. Let's hear what she says about all these issues concerning democracy and, you know, what is going to happen next. There she comes.
Sawubona baba Dube. Ezama elections awe America isimo esesikuwo kathesi sinzima kakhulu silokuxokozela. Ukuthi uTrump kambe angabuye awine futhi ama-elections kumbe aphendule kwezinye indawo lapho acabangela khona ukuthi angaphendula bese kuthiwa nguye owinileyo. Hatshi, mina mbona lokhu sokumbalekele kukhatshana ngoba kwehlule lapho azame khona ukuthi kuphinde kubalwa ama-elections. Abaliwe impumela yabe ilokhu isithi uBiden uwinile. Lokhu asezama ukukwenza ikuthi nje yena ngoba nguye isimo sakhe udala wakhe kuba ngumuntu wakhe umuntu onguye akafuni ukuvuma ukuthi wehlulekile kumbe wehlulwe uzakuza aze kuphele kufike ilanga lokugcina lokhu ekhahlela ezama ukuthi atshintshe impumela lo mthetho kawumvumeli amboni mina ukuthi umthetho wakhona ongamvumela yiwuphi ngoba usezamile usefake amacala amaningi kakhulu amacala athi vele nxa ifakiwe ama-courts afike awalahle atsho lokuthi gabalaso isizathu kumbe gabalakho okuqinileyo okutshengisa ukuthi balesizathu sokuthi waba lokuqili ngesikhathi sokuvota lokho nje sokuyisikhathi sakhe sokuthi abe lokhu eqoqa imali kulabana abavumayo ukuthi asihambeni siyelwisa i-election. Ukudliwa nje udliwe akusela mthetho ozamnceda ukuthi aphendule i-election. Sizambukela nje mhlaka 20 uzaphuma ahambe emzini wakhe.
So according to Mrs. Ndlovu, that is Priscilla Ndlovu in Washington State, Mr. Trump is attempting to do the impossible, and she believes that he is not going to succeed in whatever he's going to do, in whatever he's doing. What's your take on exactly a kind of remarks, you know, Ms. Matibe?
So I think that her view that President Trump will not succeed, she's not the only one that thinks so. And so I think. Everybody, well, let me just say, many people in the mainstream media on the left, which means that people who generally lean towards the democratic ideology, have the thinking and belief that President Trump will not succeed in this lawsuit and that it is a last-ditch effort, that type of thing. And so because this is a country where everybody has the freedom to have an opinion, which is great, right? What we are seeing right now is Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton is an attorney general, right? And he is the front runner with this lawsuit. 106 House representatives are all legislators. These are people who make laws. So this is a contest, a competition of legal minds on both sides. What we need to watch for are those elements within the law and how each step will move forward. Because you can't have 106 legislators who make laws signing an amicus brief that they believe cannot work and go through legally. So they've signed a legal document. A lot of them are lawyers themselves on the left. So this is an ideological contest. I think it is a good time for us to examine the American pieces of law about the transition of power. So I personally am very excited about being able to study and take a look at what is actually happening here, where are there gaps in pieces of legislation and where there are no gaps in pieces of legislation. But what I did want to stress is that what I am very concerned about, what is happening in the United States right now, as I've said to you, is transition of power is the last element that validates and shows you that there was free fair and credible elections. And so what I hope will not happen is a disenfranchisement of people who went to the poll believing that their vote would count. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that democracy prevails, and I hope that the proper processes and law will take place. But I do want to say that I do bear in mind that the Supreme Court does have three Republican Supreme Court judges who were themselves appointed by President Trump. At the moment, my understanding is that President-elect Biden is continuing with his transition. And we've been seeing a lot of movement, you know, of things going on at the State Department. So I can see already that within the institutions of government, we're already seeing the transition going, you know, process taking place. The starting over of you know, briefings and so on. I know Biden has some hurdles with briefings from the Pentagon last week. But some of those things will be overcome, I believe.
Thank you so much, Ms. Matibe.
President Trump will not continue to abuse his power. That is another concern that we have. But I believe that United States institutions are strong and democracy will prevail.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Matibe.
Let's go to Dr. Simbama Mvaza of ZANU-PF. Dr. Mvaza, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
I'm well. What's your take on what is going on in USA in terms of the outcome of the election and Mr. Trump taking the matter to the Supreme Court?
Okay, let me make it in a very simple way for those who are non-lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly, what Mr. Trump has done is within the law. He has a dispute with the results of the elections. Is a dispute in particular areas and particular demeanor of how the elections were done. So he has a right then to take this matter to court. Now, there is one issue we need to clarify here. While my learned colleague here was believing that in the Court of Appeal, which is the Supreme Court, has got three Trump's judges, it is a wrong assumption. What happens is any president appoints judges. If a judge is appointed by a president, the moment he becomes a judge, he is no longer aligned to the appointer. So even though a judgeship in America and now in Zimbabwe, it's a matter of the presidential appointment, it does not mean that if you are appointed by the president, You are bound by the president's wishes. There are so many judges who have been appointed by different presidents and they've ruled against them, like the Chief Justice of Kenya, who had retired today. He ruled against the same government which had appointed him, and still it did not make him an enemy of the government. So in other words, let us not start pouring water into the results of the court ruling by saying already three of them support Trump. No, they are lawyers, they are judges, they've got a credibility issue which they have to prove out there. Again, the point is, as I said last time, I wish Nkomo was here today. Gibbs Nkomo was actually telling me to swallow my words because I had said earlier on Trump might not will not lose. If you remember our last discussion,
mm-hmm.
as of today, technically, Trump has not yet lost. That's why he's challenging it. Of course, in our eyes, he has lost because Joe Biden is already preparing to take over. But what my sister has not said clearly is, as long as this legal challenge is subsisting in court, the president will not ascend to the throne or to the seat of presidents when there's a case pending. So if this is still pending, we forget about the 20th of January. But if it is finished before the 20th of January, then it then depends which side is the court ruled for and how the court is ruled, whether it's a rerun of the whole country or whether they declare one of the two a winner. But for now, we cannot be so excited that Joe Biden is going to take over. Legally speaking, he cannot when there's a challenge. Once there's a challenge, everything else stops. If you remember, in Zimbabwe, the president, the tents were already set up at Stadium Sports Stadium. But when Chamisa took his case up to the Constitutional Court, everything was stopped until there was a ruling. So either way, this is the cause of the law. Otherwise, Biden will be actually being contemptuous if he continues for coronation on a day when the court is still able to decide whether he is a legitimate president or not. And furthermore, we need to understand that in the American democracy is not as democratic as we believe or as what they sell to the world over. To start with, it is not your vote which counts. It is those elders thinking which counts. If they believe that Trump would come in, we can vote and vote and there will be meetings and meetings. Whoever is supposed to come in will come in. You will see how Trump came in against Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton won and there was a lot of American jargon on the college votes and all these issues. And then it came up to be Trump the winner. Trump is seeking the same way which brought him into power to be used now.
But when we look at the electoral votes, you know, Trump got more than Hillary Clinton in 2016. Exactly the same way is happening right now. Just 1 minute. Let's bring in Matibe for a minute. So, Matibe, when we look at what the total members are saying, do you actually agree with him that maybe at the end of the day, Biden may not be inaugurated? That's very brief.
Dr. Mavaza, I appreciate his comments. Certainly, I appreciate his comments. But I think that he is actually incorrect in the assessment, the political assessment of the pace and the mood and how American government politics takes place here. I am in Washington, D.C., and I have been following American government politics extremely close. In fact, that is what I study on a daily basis. I am in and out of both campaigns, multiple campaigns. So I just want to clarify. When American presidents elect or nominate their appointee to the Supreme Court and it is approved by Congress, that is one of the most important aspects of American politics. The appointment of Supreme Court justices. For this very reason. And so I think that it is correct to say that we need to assess the situation, bearing in mind that one of the reasons why the last Supreme Court justice was quickly moved through the approval process in Congress prior to the election was in anticipation of something like this, right? That is not to say that when the case is before them, that they will vote in favor of Trump. I am just saying that we need to be aware of that. If they look at the case and the facts of the case, yes, as legal justices, they can also rule against it, but let's wait and see how these legal processes will proceed. I wanted to mention one other thing.
30 seconds.
Yes. On Monday, there's going to be a very important vote in Congress because the election results still need the certification process, and I believe we're expecting Biden to get about 306 votes in Congress on Monday, and Trump about 232 votes on Monday. So there's still some voting to be done that is pertaining to this presidential election. And so on Monday, we will be following that process very, very closely.
Thank you very much. I think our time is up. We take this moment to thank our guests. That is Ms. Phil Matibe, a geopolitical analyst, and Dr. Simba Mavaza of the UK. Signing off his gift to me in Washington, D.C., saying, Good night, Zimbabwe.
Aiwa, tutenda vese vanga vari pachirongwa chedu, Mushare Pheo Matibe, tinokutendai uyezve Dr. Simba Mavaza, vauya kupedza chirongwa asi tinokutendai kunge manga muine nesu. Tosangana zvakare svondo rinouya. Ini ndini Marvelous Nhlanganya uye ndiri kumba muno muWashington DC.
Good night.